I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello again, it's Wednesday, even though it feels like Tuesday. Does it feel like Tuesday, Brendan?
I've just been kind of all out of whack, so, you know, it's how it goes.
It's 2 days until the next Friday, Football Friday. So that's how I try to remember it. I've got this much time to get all my preview stuff done and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not covering a Thursday football game because I don't think I would know what day it would be by the end of
We're going to let James do that this week. So welcome in. If you don't know who that is, that's Brendan Farrell, one of our newer sports writers. I keep calling you all the new guys, but you've been here both about 4 or 5 months. Still new-ish.
Yeah, I mean, this is month 5, so, because I started like the 1st of May. So.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just got done with 4 months. We're in month 5.
So. Yeah. So, we had James on here last week, Brendan this week. And so he's going to help me talk about some volleyball we got to talk about. Got to recap some of last week's football action and look ahead to week 3. And we'll have the Athlete of the Week nominees later on in the program. So, thanks for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com or on Twitter at djournalsports. And check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo, the old mall, as us old people call it. It's good stuff. We had a pepperoni and sausage today. The last Wednesday pizza for Adam the photographer. He's taking a new job. Won't be here next week. Sadness. But now I won't have to hear him complain about when I get the wrong kind of pizza. So that's an upside. Podgator here with us, of course, keeping running the board or something. So we got some football to talk about in a minute. Week 2 had some big games. But first, let's get some volleyball out of the way. We covered 3 games Tuesday night. We were all over the place, all over the map. I was at TCPS as the Eagles hosted Hamilton. They'd beaten Hamilton 3-1 just last week, I think on Thursday, so they were facing them again, this time at home. And played very well, cruised to a 3-0 win. Hamilton kind of made it tough on them in the early part of the second set and then most of the third set. But Tupelo Christian just did a much better job staying on the attack, feeding the girls on the front row. And they ended up with 41 kills as a team. Hamilton had 6. So that'll make a big difference. And it wasn't just one person. I mean, TCPS was led by Lily McCarley. He had 12 kills, but then he had Addison Eves with 8. Lily Rose Morgan with 7. Lindsay Jo Speed with 6. And so TCPS gets the win, improving to 8-1. This is a program just in its third year playing in 1A. And based on what I saw, you know, I think they could give, you know, a team like Hickory Flat a run for their money in 1A. Of course, we've had Igamore move up to 2A, so they don't have to worry about them. So I think that makes 1A a little more open. Then we had Lake Cormorant at Saltillo in a Region 1-6A game. You were at that one, Brendan. Lake Cormorant, the defending 5A state champs, so they're really good. And Saltillo has come a long way as a young program, too, but I guess last night kind of shows them, okay, this is where we want to get to eventually.
Yeah, it's funny we've got Podgator on hand for this one. I'm sure he would approve.
He's a big Lake Cormorant fan, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. it was just one of those nights where, you know, things would be close early on. You know, things were somewhere in the ballpark of like 15-14 early on, and things just kind of got away from Saltillo after that. They scored a lot of points on service errors, attack errors.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like once Lake Cormorant would stop doing that every set,
yeah,
and Saltillo would kind of produce points of their own, like that's where things kind of fizzled out. But I mean, Lake Cormorant did a really good job serving. Like it never really seemed like Saltillo was able really to set up offensively a whole lot.
Yeah.
And they've just got some really good hitters. I texted you and James this, but yeah. I think there was the one of my favorite one-liners of the season so far from Saltillo coach Lee Buse. He said that the Lake Cormorant setter could have set up a recliner in the middle of the gym and just, you know, done her job from there all night long. Just, you know, it was just kind of one of those nights.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Saltillo's, you know, having a good season so far. I think that drops them to 7-3. But, yeah, Lake Cormorant going to be tough to beat this year, now in 6A. Then we had Tisch County and Itawamba AHS. James was at that one. Tisch County got the sweep 3-0. Reese Moore, you may know her from her basketball exploits, but she's pretty good on the volleyball floor, too. She had 31 kills. I haven't seen her play volleyball yet. You have, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I mean, the number is big, but yeah. It also doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been doing that pretty much all season. So that's a big Region 1-4A win there for Tisch County over Itawamba. Let's go to football, rewind some of the key games from Week 2 real quick. I was at Houston after initially going to Shannon. Yeah, I got to Shannon Friday because I was covering Houston at Shannon. Too bad the game was Shannon at Houston. They changed it over the summer and nobody told me.
I wish I could have been there for that exact moment you were telling us about when you pull into the
And the cheerleaders Shannon, yeah. And band are pulling out in their buses. I'm like, okay, there's something amiss here. So
sure, there's a bunch of four-letter words that we can't say on the podcast.
Yeah, there were a few. And yeah, 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8-letter words, too. So, yeah, I got there on time, though. I got to Houston by 6:30. And Houston got the win 28-14. I mean, Shannon scored, like, on his first drive, a bit of a fluke play. A pass was deflected, and another receiver caught it and went the distance for the touchdown. But after that, Houston's defense really put the clamps down on Shannon, forced 4 turnovers in the game, scored touchdowns off of 2 of them, and just really shut down that rushing attack. And it hurt Shannon that Keegan Ruff, who ran for over 1,200 yards last year, was out with an ankle injury. He's expected to return this week against Pontotoc, but nevertheless, they just could not get that running game off the ground. And again, kept turning it over, a couple of fumbles, a couple of interceptions. And then for Houston offensively, they had a lot of guys play well. Jalen Washington ran for 135 yards, ran for 1 touchdown, caught another touchdown pass. Steele Brooks, the quarterback, did a really good job with his arms and his feet, as he often does. And he had a kid, Jacoby Pratt, carry the ball twice, score touchdowns both times. So it's pretty good efficiency there. So anyway, Houston, with the fairly easy win once they get over that kind of rough start, falling behind 7-0, they came back, got some turnovers, and again with a 28-14 win. We had on Thursday, Amory opened its home, quote-unquote, schedule against Saltillo. You were at that game.
Yes,
Brendan.
I was.
Played at Tupelo, of course. And Amory put the hurt on the Tigers, 51-19. You know, after a not very good offensive performance week 1 against Pontotoc, they came out pretty hot on Thursday, as I recall, and just kind of kept pouring it on, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that, but I mean, the first touchdown of the game for them was a defensive one.
That's true. That's true.
So, but yeah, I mean, honestly, it just, I don't know if it was kind of pregame expectations on our end or what, but it just totally felt like once Amory had this sack fumble that they turn into a scoop and score, you kind of just felt like, okay, this is over. It's only 10-0, but it's this is gonna get real bad real quick.
And it did,
yeah. I mean, I think it was more so surprising that they did it mostly through the air than on the ground.
Yeah, because Braden Maranto, you know, did not have a very good first game. And I said coming in, okay, he's gonna need to play better just to build confidence in himself and with his teammates. And you know, there's that it was sometime in the first half. He threw that long touchdown pass on like 3rd and long.
I think it was fourth.
Fourth and long. That's what it was. They're kind of in no man's land.
There were 2 guys there.
Yeah, and he dropped back and found the guy wide open down the field for a touchdown, and that kind of, I think, was what made it a 3 or 4 touchdown game by that point.
I want to say that was maybe their first touchdown of the game.
Was it? I don't
maybe.
Know.
Other than
I only stayed for a half. I just know they were scoring a lot.
Yeah. No,
quickly.
It was bad. It got to got to the running clock pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
The second half. Pretty much most of the second half was under running clock.
Yeah.
So
that was a nice little win there for Amory, 4A school over 6A school. We had Boonville winning the Skunk Bowl over Baldwin. They had to rally in the second half, but they got the job done there. What was that, 34-26. Noah Gillen, the quarterback for Boonville, had a nice game. Then you had another rival game, Starkville and West Point. Starkville won that one, and that final was, what, 39-28? That sounds right to me. I rustle my paper loudly. Yeah.
Have you looked into doing like newspaper folding ASMR?
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Probably is.
There's probably some category for that.
Hey guys, yeah, 3928. It was right there the whole time in front of me.
There you go.
Here, guys, a little newspaper folding ASMR for all of you to help you relax. I don't know. I might find that really annoying. Maybe some people like it. You might have something there, though. It might be a million-dollar idea, Brendan.
Maybe.
Okay. So that's a quick recap of week two. Week three, looking ahead, this could be a very good game. I can't get a beat on how I think it's going to go, but Ripley hosting Choctaw County. Now, if you know anything about Choctaw County, you know they have Caleb Cunningham, who is rated a 4 or 5-star prospect, depending on where you look. But he's a big-time recruit. He's just a junior. He's got offers from just about every SEC school and then several other Power 5 programs. And I'm supposed to be getting some stats on him from the coach, but he hasn't sent them yet. So I assume he's played well so far. The Choctaw's 2-0, as is Ripley. Ripley known for its defense under Perry Lyles, so they've got a huge task. Now they have Michael Turner in the defensive secondary. He's a very good player, had 10 picks last year. I imagine he'll have to help out a good bit with Cunningham, who's a 6'3", and about 180. I haven't really seen much tape on him, Brendan, but everything you hear about him, he's just a beast, apparently. And I assume he's got some good players around him because they're 2-0 and have won impressively both times.
Yeah, I mean, he's not all that often you come in and you face a guy whose 24/7 sports composite score starts with .99.
So. Yeah. So that's going to be obviously a major focus for Ripley. And on the other side of the ball, Ripley, they're having to go with their backup quarterback after the starter, Ty Long, got hurt during the summer. And so they've been having to run the ball a good bit, and they've got a couple of guys that can do that. Most notably Keegan Strong ran for 215 yards last week. He's really fast. They're going to have to grind out the clock, win time of possession. Of course, if Choctaw is able to get the ball to Cunningham down the field, they may not need much time to score. So time of possession might not matter so much. But, yeah, it's going to have – they can't win – I don't think they win a shootout, Brendan. I don't think Ripley does.
No.
They don't have the offense built for that right now, I don't think. Another game, Shannon looking to bounce back, taking on Pontotoc. This is a game that's always hard to predict. This game is going to be at Shannon. I should probably double-check that one just in case the – yeah. No, but, yeah, this game is – I have it at Shannon. So both teams 1-1. Pontotoc coming off a win over rival South Pontotoc in a big way last week. Shannon, of course, the loss to Houston. Shannon – looked pretty rough on offense last week. This week they might come out gangbusters. This is kind of how this team has done things the last few years. You just never quite know what you're going to get. I have no doubt they can match up pretty well with Pontotoc. Pontotoc, so far has shown us to have a pretty strong defense. And so, Shannon's going to have to do a lot of things this week better than they did last week. And they do have Keegan Ruff back at running back this week, I mentioned. So that will obviously be a huge boost. Take some of the pressure off the quarterback, Trey Spurgeon. And then Pontotoc, they put up 42 points against South. Got shut out by Amory the week before that. So I know they're working with a young quarterback. And, I'm curious how well they can do against Shannon's defense, which has some really good athletes on it. I don't know. I haven't seen Pontotoc yet. Of course, I saw Shannon last week. They've always got the athletes. Again, this game is hard to predict. It'll probably be close, come down to the end. It tends to do that. And then we've got Tupelo at home again, taking on Hernando. Tupelo has blown out its first two opponents. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again. I don't know a lot about Hernando, but I don't think that, except that I think they lost to Senatobia pretty badly last week. And this is nothing against Senatobia, but that's what, a 3A, 4A school. And so if you're losing to Senatobia, it's going to be a tall hill to climb to beat Tupelo. So Golden Wave not throwing the ball a ton so far. Of course, last week the rain had a lot to do with that. And plus they've got two good running backs in Quay Middlebrooks and J.J. Hill. And so, they've been able to just kind of pound the rock. And and win that way. And, of course, their defense is just lights out. They've given up, what, 7 points all year. You're going to be covering this game, aren't you?
That is the plan.
Yeah.
So it's usually you who's coming up with the plan, so I don't know why you're asking me.
I can't remember by this point. Did you see Tupelo in the Jamboree? I forget. Have you seen them at all?
I haven't seen them at all this year.
Okay, I think that's why I sent you this week, so you could get a look at them.
Yeah, I've been to Renaissance Field for a game, but it was not a Tupelo game.
So. That's true. That's true. So, yeah, Tupelo with its third straight home game here to open the season. Okay, let's wrap things up. Athletes of the Week, remember, we're doing it differently this year. We have three nominees, three male, three female athletes. Go to our Twitter page, at @DJournalSports, and you've got about 24, well, by this point that I'm talking, 23 hours left to vote. Female Athlete of the Week nominees, Reese Moore of Tisch County Volleyball, Keely Robinson of Belmont Volleyball, and Eliza Winton of East Union Volleyball. Nominees for Male Athlete of the Week, Contravian Kinkle of Holly Springs Football, Keegan Strong of Ripley Football, and Drew Winfen of North Pontotoc Football. If you go to my page, at Brad Locke, you can see I quote tweet the polls with the stats of these players and help you make a better informed and objective decision. Because surely nobody is voting just because that player is from their favorite school.
Absolutely not. Everybody evaluates that just independent
simply on the merits.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure. So
you should do it where they just like don't post the school sometime and see what happens.
Yeah. Do you really know your favorite team? Okay. Yeah.
But I'm sure you still get a lot of traffic of like go vote for this person anyway.
Yeah. But. Yeah. This is not the most scientific of methods for choosing this, but it's fun. People seem to enjoy it. So, again, check out the poll for Athletes of the Week at D Journal Sports. We'll announce the winners on Thursday. And that's it. We're done. Brendan, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
What's your Twitter handle again?
It is @bfarrell727.
Farrell.
Yeah. Two R's.
Two L's.
Two L's.
I'm on there @BradLocke. Again, @eJournalSports. You can follow us there. This show comes to you every Wednesday in iTunes, Spotify, online at preprally.djournal.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, and check them out. We'll see you next week.